QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for May 25th, 2011. The Aries Audio E-Letter Report is a voice version of the Aries E-Letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries E-Letter is available online at www.arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at www.arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, and my script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. In this edition, we have for you This Just In, Joplin, Missouri Tornado Disaster, Tornado Devastation, Responses in the Southeast, 2011 Atlantic Hurricane Season Forecast, Above Average, WX4NHC Hurricane Season 2011, On the Air Station Test, Hamvention 2011 Aries Report, 2011 National Hurricane Conference, A Wrap, Aries Digest, Reflections on Alabama Tornado Disaster, On Doing More, N5FDL's 7 Tips, How to Be a Volunteer That Leaders Love, Letters, and K1CE for a final. And now we begin with This Just In, Joplin, Missouri Tornado Disaster. Here is a brief report from Missouri SEC W0KRB, just forwarded by Dale Temple, W5RXU, Arkansas Section Manager, at press time. He says, thanks to all who volunteered to help provide radio support for the Joplin tornado. Last night, amateur radio was used to provide communications between Freeman Hospital in Joplin to the hospitals in Springfield to help provide information about resources needed in Joplin. We also had a link-up for the Red Cross between the main office in Springfield and the satellite office in Joplin. John Howard, K0VET, activated the Missouri Emergency Services Net, MESN, and it was up until 11 p.m. last night. It ended up steering a lot of people to the proper website for health and welfare messages. The hospital requirements for radio communications were terminated at 9 a.m. this morning. As of 5 p.m. tonight, we are on a standby status for the Red Cross between the two locations. We still have a couple of Jasper County Aries and Newton County Aries members providing communications between the Red Cross shelter and the Red Cross headquarters that was set up away from the normal chapter office. It is anticipated that this need will be fulfilled by 12 noon tomorrow. Again, thanks to all of you for asking if you could help, and especially for not self-deploying. Our professionalism again came shining through. Thanks to Kenneth Barrymore, W0KRB, Section Emergency Coordinator, Aries, Missouri Section, for this report. The Associated Press called the event the worst single tornado disaster since 1950. Tornado Devastation Responses in the Southeast. Greg Surratt, W4OZK, ARRL Southeastern Division Director, reports, on April 27, 2011, two waves of tornadoes hit the region, which caused massive damage and communication failures involving landline phones, the Internet, and cell services across Alabama. More than 600,000 residences and businesses in North Alabama were without power for over a week. The Amateur Radio Emergency Service successfully provided critical communications for multiple organizations. The time spent practicing and training on nets and exercises, building relationships, and hard work paid off for Aries when disaster struck. Aries worked. The National Weather Service documented 53 separate destructive tornadoes in Alabama. There were 28 tracks in North Alabama with 6 EF3, EF4, and EF5 tornadoes. There were also 22 smaller but damaging EF0, EF1, and EF2s. The tornadoes left 238 deaths, thousands of injuries, and thousands of demolished homes and businesses. 130 high-voltage line support structures, towers, were demolished. 11 high-voltage transmission lines were out of service. President Obama declared a major disaster for Alabama. The federal declaration encompassed 42 counties. The NWS Huntsville issued 92 tornado warnings, 31 severe thunderstorm warnings, and 7 flash flood warnings. Ares operations began at 4 a.m. on Wednesday, April 27th, as severe weather tracked into Alabama. Ares continued to operate for the next 12 days. Ares supported the State Emergency Management Office, local county emergency management offices, the National Weather Service, the American Red Cross, the Southern Baptist Disaster Relief, the Salvation Army, and other volunteer organizations that were active during the disaster. A major city, Tuscaloosa, was severely hit with multiple communications towers down. Multiple counties and disaster areas were also involved. Commercial and amateur radio repeaters were not operational, and main utility power was out. Long lines formed at gas stations and grocery stores. Some hams were victims of this disaster, but still provided amateur radio support. A good example of an after-action report comes from Ares AEC Alan Sieg, WB5RMG, of Huntsville, Madison County, Alabama, and is included later in this issue. He adds, "My report came from deep inside, and I've had several personal responses from people within the EMA acknowledging that depth. Many of these issues are still very close to the surface with us, and we expect them to be for some time. This is normal. We process it. Writing and sharing is part of my process. It's hard sometimes, but it helps. I am proud of all the amateur radio operators that provided assistance during this long-duration disaster." I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, and this is the ARRL Audio Ares e-letter for May 25th, 2011. We'll stand by now for a few seconds to allow repeater stations to identify themselves. Now we continue. 2011 Atlantic hurricane season forecast above average. Forecasters with the National Hurricane Center, NHC, are calling for an above-average Atlantic hurricane season for 2011. In its initial outlook for the 2011 Atlantic hurricane season, which runs from June 1st through November 30th, the National Weather Service's Climate Prediction Center is calling for a 65% probability of an above-normal season, a 25% probability of a near-normal season, and a 10% probability of a below-normal season. WX4NHC Hurricane Season 2011 On-the-Air Station Test. WX4NHC will be testing its amateur radio station on Saturday, June 4, 2011, from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Eastern Time. The purpose of this event is to test the National Hurricane Center amateur radio station equipment in preparation for this year's hurricane season. Station operators will be making informal contacts on HF, VHF, UHF, and on 2-meter and 30-meter APRS. Suggested voice frequencies, plus or minus QRM, are 3.950 MHz, 7.268 MHz, 14.325 MHz, 21.325 MHz, and 28.425 MHz. The operators will try to stay on 14.325 MHz most of the time and will announce when they QSY. They would appreciate a signal report and basic weather data exchange, that is to say sunny or rain or whatever, from stations at any location. They will also be on the VOIP hurricane net from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. The IRLP node number is 90219. The Echolink conference group is WX-Talk, and that node number is 7203. QSL cards will be available via WD4R. Please send your card with a self-addressed stamped envelope. Please do not send QSLs directly to the Hurricane Center address. For more information about WX4NHC, you may click on www.fiu.edu/ORGS/W4EHW. I'll repeat that in just a moment. Our thanks to Giulio Ripoll, WD4R, the WX4NHC Amateur Radio Assistant Coordinator, for this information. And that email address again is www.fiu.edu/ORGS/W4EHW. Hamvention 2011 Aries Report. Rick Palm, K1CE, writes, "The 2011 Dayton Hamvention is in the history books. I asked Greg Surratt, W4OZK, who attended the event, about the MCOM and Aries forums there. He reported as follows. I spent most of the weekend in the ARRL MCOM booth meeting Aries members, ECs, DECs, served agencies personnel, and many MCOM-interested amateurs. I enjoyed talking with many hams from all across the nation about emergency communications. The FCC MCOM and ARRL Aries forums were informative and were packed. The FCC's Kurt Bartholomew, N3GQ, and William Cross, W3TN, gave the Commission's annual Emergency Communications Information Update. ARRL Aries Forum Speaker Mike Corey, W5MPC, the ARRL's Emergency Preparedness Manager, talked about the recent success of Aries in the southeastern tornado disasters. Corey also discussed the importance of Aries member image, training, and exercises. 2011 National Hurricane Conference, a wrap. Host ARRL's Southeastern Division Director Greg Surratt, W4OZK, summed it up by saying, "Amateur radio at the 2011 National Hurricane Conference was a success." Surratt said the conference leadership recognized the valuable contribution of amateur radio operators and again invited us to participate with two sessions at this year's conference, held in Atlanta, Georgia, during the week of April 18th through the 22nd. The conference, which was held at the Hyatt Regency Conference Center in downtown Atlanta, was attended by about 1,400 people from federal, state, and local governments, the private sector, businesses, VOADs, and the ARRL. Nearly 40 people attended the Amateur Radio Disaster Communications Workshop. WX4NHC Amateur Radio Coordinator John McHugh, K4AG, and Assistant Coordinator Giulio Ripoll, WD4R, explained the 30-year history of their work at the National Hurricane Center and the importance of measured surface data and damage reports. The pair told how this knowledge helps hurricane specialists to make better forecasts. Surratt and Ken Bailey, K1FUG, the Emergency Preparedness Assistant from ARRL headquarters, surprised Ripoll with an award from the ARRL for his dedication and service during the Haiti earthquake of 2010. Ripoll also received the Conference Distinguished Service Award for his tireless efforts over 30 years as amateur radio coordinator at WX4NHC. Director of Operations for the VOIP Hurricane Net, Rob Macedo, KD1CY, gave a presentation on the net and the role it plays in gathering data for WX4NHC. He explained how it also can be used to connect various National Weather Service forecast offices as well as local and regional emergency operations centers during hurricanes. Macedo also explained, "The VOIP Hurricane Net relays info to WX4NHC using any and all means of reliable information from all sources to give the NHC the most information possible from the surface during a hurricane." Surratt, a member of the League's board of directors, gave a presentation on the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, how it works in the field, and its interaction with ARRL headquarters. Dennis Dura, K2DCD, and Rob Macedo, KD1CY, were among several speakers who hosted a workshop for about 20 emergency management officials and representatives of government agencies. All sessions were videotaped through the efforts of professional videographer and ARRL Eastern Massachusetts Ares Assistant Section Emergency Coordinator Jim Palmer, KB1KQW. The videos should be available later this year on the North Shore Radio Association website, www.nsradio.org/video. Again, that's www.nsradio.org/video. The 2012 National Hurricane Conference is scheduled to be held in Orlando, Florida from March 26th through March 30th, 2012. We hope to see you there. Thanks to Ken Bailey, K1FUG, Emergency Preparedness Assistant, ARRL Headquarters, for this report. We'll stand by now for a few seconds to allow repeater stations to identify themselves. This is the ARRL Audio Ares e-letter. This is the ARRL Audio Ares e-letter for May 25th, 2011. Note to repeater owners. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the ARRL Audio Ares e-letter. Send an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. And please remember to put the word repeater in the subject line. Also include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. Again, that email address is kz3ab@arrl.net. Thanks. Next on the list is the Ares Digest. This report from Ralph Fetty Sr., W4FEG, Emergency Coordinator, Goochland County, Virginia. Goochland County, Virginia, Ares activities for outage. April 26th seemed to just be another day, and as usual, I had already begun the Central Virginia 6-meter net early. There were two stations from North Carolina near Raleigh already waiting their turns for comments. The phone rang, and the voice on the other end was Bill McKay, County Fire and Rescue Chief. Ares was needed because the agency was suffering communications problems. "The dispatch frequency," he said, "is not working to our fire rescue stations, and we need emergency backup communications at all fire rescue stations and the EOC. My response was simply, "Okay, Bill." I began to make several calls. The first was to Ray Clemens, WB4IKL, and within a few minutes he was en route to Station Company No. 6. The next two calls were to Matt Long, N4MI, and Ned Creasy, AE4ID. Just as quickly, they were headed to cover Company No. 2 and Company No. 5. I called Rick Cook, AB4U, EC, for Hanover County. He asked only, "Where do you need me?" and was soon headed to cover Company No. 3. As I headed to EOC, Dennis Piner, N4DEN, came up on the Goochland call-up repeater. After explaining the situation, he responded to Company No. 1. So, within an hour, we had five stations and the EOC up and running. I called and advised Chief McKay that we had coverage in place for all stations except Company No. 4. I asked if he wanted the coverage for any of the stations shifted. He said that the coverage was fine and that he would advise if any changes were needed. We later had Medic 50 sign on with Bo Buaroon, N4SIR, an advanced cardiac life supporter. All stations were able to respond to the EOC when connected. We had all sites pre-equipped with radios, power supplies, antennas, and manuals, with several log and message handling forms. Chief McKay came into the EOC and asked me to pass along his thanks to all of the radio amateurs. He also expressed his surprise that we were able to respond to his request as quickly as we did. Thankfully, business was slow. We handled communication to Company Number 3. There had been an accident, and this info was relayed to the EOC. Shortly after noon, all equipment was back in service. The call-up had lasted from 8 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. We were again thanked by Chief Bill McKay for our support and the confidence he gained in our abilities and willingness to respond. I thank all of the operators involved for their support and participation. Many had changed plans or had to take time off from work to provide this coverage. This demonstrated their devotion to the service of our community. Chris Palm, WY6Z in York, Pennsylvania, filed this report. York County, Pennsylvania, tornado activation. On Saturday, April 16th at 8 p.m., the York County, Pennsylvania Aries Racy Skywarn Group, known as YARS, assembled on the air due to an extreme weather alert. Members reported high winds and heavy rain, and there was a report of a possible tornado near Hanover, Pennsylvania. Within minutes, I heard that familiar sound of a freight train rushing past my house. It was accompanied by loud cracking noises and a power outage. After it had passed, my wife and I made a visual inspection. Four sections of our fence and a mature spruce tree were down, and a huge flowering pear tree was down on the roof of our neighbor's house. It wasn't until Monday afternoon that the National Weather Service declared it to have been a tornado, after determining evidence of rotational wind damage. That's the end of Mr. Palm's report. Reflections on Alabama Tornado Disaster, on Doing More. From Alan Sieg, WB5RMG, Huntsville, Madison County, Alabama, Aries Racy's Assistant Emergency Coordinator. He says, I would like to think that the years of training and decades of field day practice allowed me to provide my community, the Huntsville-Madison County, Alabama area, with the level of support that was needed after the tornadoes of April 27th. Surely, with all my experience helping with Red Cross sheltering after blizzards and hurricanes, the planning sessions, tabletops, etc., I had what it takes. What I feel has made the most difference this time is the fact that our radio group is well known and respected by the EMA, and the EMA is well known and well respected in this community. These factors added up to our group's ability to step into action immediately. Our training helped. We performed just as we practiced time and time again, and we adapted successfully to a changing environment. However, I feel that my tasking was greatly empowered by one simple fact. I held an official credential, a standardized ID card issued by EMA. It was easily recognized within the ICS infrastructure on the scene. No one ever challenged my presence or my inquiries. My job could have been more challenging and much less effective without my official credentials. When I spoke with neighborhood residents, volunteers, doctors, and patients, my message was simple. Do you have questions? I can get you answers. Everyone knew that they could come to me with their questions, and I knew where to go and whom to ask. Communication is an essential piece of managing information. Talking on the radio was simple because I've had practice. It's second nature. Listening and building these relationships was also simple, because I cared. My message to you now is, don't be afraid to care and do more than pass messages. I have never been more proud than to be part of such an effective group. We made a huge difference, and this community knows what we can do. We will gladly do it again whenever we are needed. We pause now for a few seconds to allow stations to identify themselves. Continuing now with N5FDL's 7 Tips, How to Be a Volunteer That Leaders Love. Having spent 2 months talking about how to build and kill MCOM groups, this month I'll touch on what it takes to be the volunteer every leader wants on his or her team. Here are 7 tips. Sign up and show up. This is really simple, but it can't be overstated. Leaders need dependable volunteers and need them to commit early. We need to be able to plan based on the number of volunteers we can expect. So sign up early, let your leader know if your plans are tentative, and cancel as soon as you know you cannot attend. That makes the planning job much, much easier. People respect our group because they know if we commit to something, we will deliver. This group reliability depends on volunteers who are equally reliable. Dress like an emergency communications professional. I feel stupid saying this, but what we wear impacts the image of all amateurs. Now that we wear orange or green safety vests much of the time, individual fashion expression is not so apparent to served agencies or the public. As unpaid professionals, we need to look like the paid professionals we work alongside. In general, dress in office work, casual office attire when on assignment, unless you have a special reason that is cleared with your leaders for dressing differently. If you don't wear an official government-issued patch, a polo shirt with your group's logo is almost always the best thing to wear. Try not to have too many logos or call signs, even your own, visible at the same time. Smile, darn you, smile! We all have better and worse days, but great volunteers develop a game face and a game attitude they bring to public events. Whiners are not allowed, and egos get checked at the door. No, it really isn't about you. It's just what net control said or did, probably without thinking, and usually in the heat of the moment. Seek feedback and offer it. We all need to talk about what we do well as where we could improve. Volunteers need to understand that the people who provide feedback are sometimes insensitive louts. Please forgive us. We didn't mean to hurt your feelings, and it really isn't personal. Nor is it personal when you tell leaders how we might improve. We are here to serve the public and our communities, and we all win or lose as a team. The key to this is being a decent human being and treating others the way you'd want to be treated yourself. Sound familiar? Build your skills. Newcomer mistakes must be forgiven. And some people, like me, make the same silly mistakes over and over. But we need to constantly sharpen the saw. Great volunteers do that on a regular basis. The reason we provide support for all these bike rides, community fairs, rodeos, and other non-emergency events is twofold. Sometimes these events become real emergencies. Mostly, though, we're training for when the big one happens. Use these events to train yourself while having fun. Then read, take classes, do free online training, anything to improve your skills. Reading or listening to this newsletter is a good use of your time. Help solve problems. I was really pleased at a recent event when our volunteers at a remote site solved problems that occurred at their location without help from anyone. It was an issue related to signals and geography, and these were all new hams, all KJ6 call signs, who took initiative and made things better on the spot. In the process, they improved our ability to serve the organization we were working for. Great volunteers give great customer service. Observe lines of authority. Not long ago, I became unglued when a fairly inexperienced volunteer tried to do something that went against the goals of the organization. It was not ill-intended, just inexperience, but it was the second or third problem. This was a hugely promising volunteer who just needed to understand why certain things are done the way they are. Thanks to Aries E-Letter contributing editor David Kersey, N5FDL, who is an MCOM leader in San Joaquin County, California, and author of the N5FDL.com blog for this report. Now, letters. Lou Malachik, N2RQ in East Meadow, New York, writes, I am responding to the Ham Cram article and comments in the last issue. I have been licensed since 1959 and have been an active member of Nassau County, New York, Aries for nearly 30 years. I've worked with kids in school radio clubs since at least 1977, when I started work at Brooklyn Technical High School, W2CXN. My home club is the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club, where I presently hold the title of Education Committee Chair. I am a retired public school chemistry teacher. In my experience trying to teach classes to high school students and adults, traditional multi-session courses have not been very effective. The attrition rate has been very frustrating. Many who start never get to the exam. In the past year, I have led a team of volunteer instructors in 4 one-day cram review sessions. The ground rules were that everyone who signed up was required to study in advance. These sessions, that started at 8 a.m. and went through the question pool by 3:30 p.m., were followed immediately by VE sessions administered by a separate team of VEs. The results were most encouraging. The technician session results were 42 out of 45 passed. The three who did not pass told us they had not studied in advance. On April 10th, the same team conducted a general class upgrade session, resulting in 9 of 11 passing. One of those missed by one question, and one had not studied. The bottom line is that these cram review sessions only work when a person is committed enough to have done some individual studying. The comments about inexperienced operators not knowing how to manage their stations in an emergency are a real concern. You are absolutely correct that we do not have enough operators to meet the potential MCOM needs in nearly any serious situation. Since we always experience an ad hoc response and must transform these new volunteers into an effective team, which ones are likely to be better operators? I have contended for some time that they are not likely to come from the NTS ops, rather from the DXers and contesters. In this regard, I am promoting participation in Field Day this year, especially by our newly licensed and upgraded hams. In order to be a skilled operator, one needs to operate. Drills and marathons are good, but may not be enough to keep the attention of many. We need to have fun with our hobby. It's not a job. Keep up the good work. It's time again to pause for station identification. This is the ARRL Audio Aries E-Letter for May 25th, 2011. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Now we continue with letters. Video interview with a North Carolina ham who lost his home in a tornado. Dave Langley, W4YDY, the Brightleaf Amateur Radio Club website editor in North Carolina, writes, readers might be interested in a video I posted on the Brightleaf Amateur Radio Club website, www.w4amc.com/fd/kc3x.wmv. One of our members, Hollis Thigpen, KC3X of Snow Hill, North Carolina, lost his home in the April 16th tornadoes that came through the eastern part of the state. The video is 2 minutes long from TV station WCTI Channel 12 in New Bern. I'll give you the website again, www.w4amc.com/fd/kc3x.wmv. Do's and don'ts for MCOM success. I have experienced all of the things on the lists published in the last couple of issues by David Kersey, N5FDL. I would like to add that probably the most important do is to communicate freely. Sometimes this is the most difficult, but it really needs to be emphasized. What we did in New Mexico when we established the state SAR organization was to ask each team what they thought their expertise is or was. Then we made it clear to them that they would be called when we needed that expertise. Otherwise, they would be put on standby. That way, we did not wear out all the teams. On the subject of a simple HT, I await a response to see if what you published will get any feedback. Meanwhile, I plan to check out the HT you reviewed in the March issue of QST Magazine to see if it meets all the things that I suggested. It is imperative that it be simple enough that one can program it without the book being close at hand. Thanks to Bob Skaggs, KB5RX in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for these comments. Bill McLean, AI4WM in Palm Coast, Florida, writes, I found a simple and economical way to have all the battery power I need. Get the correct size AA battery holders from a place like Jamico or Parts Express and put a few in parallel for longevity. Then add a flexible cable with a power connector on the end that will fit your HT. The battery holders generally will fit nicely into a small arms Army Surplus ammo pouch and fit on any belt. In regard to a simple HT, I had one of the overly complicated newer HTs, and I reverted back to my old standby IC2AT. It is a very simple, basic, VHF-only HT, and it works fine with my homebrew battery pack. The problem with the old IC2AT is that a tone board must be added. Speaking of simple HTs, Marty Wohl, N6VI, Vice Director of the ARRL Southwestern Division, writes, just a quick note that the simple thumb-wheel-operated HT described in KB5RX's letter is not a TH-22. It's probably an ICOM IC-2AT. I own several of the Kenwood TH model series, and they all program the same way and are fairly simple to use. For the most used functions, I have the process coded on an adhesive label on the back of each radio. For the less used commands, a photo-reduced laminated function chart of them stays in my wallet. Formidable Footprint. Formidable Footprint is a free online emergency response tabletop exercise series sponsored by Disaster Resistant Communities Group, or DRC Group, Depiction Software, and Stony Brook Group, LLC. It is a web-based, interactive, real-time drill, which will take about 3 hours to complete. It features pictures, video, audio, and interactive maps. I feel it has a lot of value to ARES members because, 1, many types of decisions and contact data are common to all groups and can be tested by this drill, and 2, ARES volunteers are not going to be available if their families and/or neighbors need them. The better their families and neighbors can plan for any disaster, the better their availability for helping others. The basic intent seems to be to raise the awareness of the value of preparation for a disaster, and I think it does an excellent job of that. Our thanks to Dennis Conklin, AI-8P, AEC for Summit County, Ohio, ARES, for this letter. Timely Twitter and Passwords. Lloyd Colston, KC5FM, the Altus, Oklahoma EMA, writes, in regard to last month's article on Twitter alerting, the author suggests creating a strong password that you might share with just a few people in your group so they could post the alert if you were unavailable. Mr. Colston says you don't have to share your password if you use http://timely.is. You set up Timely as the account and may add users to the account. the users that you allow may post tweets, either scheduled or within 30 minutes. It's a great tool for networking and team building. Hope that helps. Now let's look at that web address again. http://timely.is. We'll pause now to allow our stations to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL e-letter for May 25, 2011. Finally, K1CE for a final. The 10th anniversary of 9/11 is this September. A first-person report by 9/11 first responder and radio amateur Bob Heil, W2IK, may be found at www.w2ik.info. I found it to be very moving. Heil was among the first to be on the scene on 9/11. It is raw and powerful reading. The web address again, www.w2ik.info. 73 from Rick, K1CE, Flagler County, Florida. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for May 25, 2011. The Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Copyright 2011 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.